We shall now turn to the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, where we have two parables that are very similar, amongst the other parables that are very similar. The parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And so on. The kingdom of heaven is the rule and reign of Christ. His kingdom is over all, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. But how will his kingdom begin? Remember, the kingdom of heaven is pointing especially to the establishing of his kingdom upon earth. And we're to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Is the beginning of his kingdom and the establishment of his kingdom, is it dramatic? Is it with one sweep that all opposing forces are removed? Is the kingdom like Jonah's gourd that grows up in a night? No, it is like a mustard seed. And you know how small a mustard seed is. It's very small. You can place it on the very tip of your finger. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So the kingdom has small beginnings. But though small at first, yet it will grow. It will certainly increase and be like a tree that the birds of the air can nestle in. So here is the picture of the kingdom of heaven. With small beginnings, it may appear small in the world, but it will eventually encompass the entire world. And this is what we consider tonight. That is the outward visible growth of the kingdom of heaven. Now the parable that follows, the parable of the leaven, is speaking of the inward, secret growth of the kingdom of heaven. It is like leaven or yeast, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened, speaking of the secret expansion of the church. But this evening we focus upon the parable of the mustard seed. Now, we had thought perhaps to take both parables together in one evening, but the more we considered it, the more we thought that there is certainly much matter here for us to consider just one parable this evening. And perhaps next Wednesday evening, the Lord willing, we will consider the parable of the leaven. But with the Lord's help, we notice first, in regard to the parable of the mustard seed, the small beginnings of the kingdom of heaven. The small beginnings. Secondly, the certain growth of the kingdom of heaven. The certain growth. And thirdly, the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. The blessedness of the kingdom of heaven and that which attracts what is here called the birds of the air, really every aspect of society. The kingdom of heaven will embrace everything in the world that has to do with the workings of society. So we have the small beginnings of the kingdom of heaven, Secondly, the certain growth of the kingdom of heaven. And thirdly, the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. He sowed in his field. Remember, it's his field. And the world belongs to Christ. It is his dominion that is encompassing and will encompass the whole world. So that is what we have discovered already in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So remember that the earth belongs to the Lord. He created it, and he created it to be inhabited, and it has been claimed for himself. But the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, a single mustard seed, just one very small seed. And the Lord says, which is the is the least of all seeds. Now, that is compared with other seeds in the garden. Most seeds that would be used in the garden, which is in the field, the mustard seed is the smallest. And it is certainly, the mustard seed is proverbial of something that is very small. People would recognize what you meant when you said that was so small it was like a mustard seed. Something seemingly insignificant, very, very small. The Lord Jesus even used the mustard seed to describe faith. Matthew 17, verse 20. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You may be small, your faith may be small, but faith is trusting in the infinite God who is able to do all things, even to remove what seem to be mountains of obstacles in your experience. Have faith in God. So the idea and the thought of the parable is what is very small becomes very large. It may not be the smallest seed in the whole wide world, it is certainly not the greatest tree in the whole world, but it is telling us about the growth of the kingdom from small to large, from very small to very great. The mustard seed a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. It's still an herb, it's still a plant. A garden plant, in fact. But it grows to a tree. It's so large, it might as well be a tree. Here's we need to remember, we're talking about plants. There may be an ivy, or a wheat, or barley, and there's the mustard plant. And it grows from a tiny, tiny seed to very, very large, up to 15 feet or more than 4 meters high. It's a tree. So it's a picture of the small beginnings of the kingdom or the church, the visible church on earth. It's very small at first, but it will certainly grow. And the kingdom of God will increase and receive all the kingdoms of the world into its pale. But this is a mystery, you see, that the disciples needed to learn. The Lord has told them that it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. He is teaching them things that have been hid, but he is revealing it to them. And he's revealing to them what they needed to understand because most people didn't. And what was that? They thought that the kingdom of God would come suddenly and overwhelm the Romans in just a small bit of time, and they would take over the world, or at least over their own land, and all would be well. But the disciples had to learn it was not like that. It would be with small beginnings. And it was no accident. It was in God's purpose and plan that the kingdom of heaven would be small at first. It would be very unnoticed at first, perhaps, insignificant in the eyes of men, small beginnings. And that's a lesson that we need to learn. Let us not be surprised when the things that are most profitable begin in small ways. And what is most useful is very little at first. But the Lord has promised to make it increase. As we read in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, that a little one shall become a thousand and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time, or in its time, the appointed time. And that leads us to the certain growth of the kingdom of heaven. The certain growth of the kingdom of heaven. It is small at first, but it will certainly grow just as the mustard seed, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. The greatest among herbs. Comparatively, it's not a tree, but it might as well be a tree. The idea, again, is from very small to very great. And in a garden, the mustard plant would be huge. It's not here, the idea is not so much in a field, although the word is used, but it includes a garden. And in the garden, there will be a variety of plants, and here is the mustard that has grown from very small to very large. And so the kingdom of heaven will enlarge. The scriptures are full of passages that speak about the enlarging of the kingdom. We read in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2, this is the duty of the church, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. So the idea is the tent is too small, you need to stretch it out, move out the stakes, lengthen the cords of the tent, because more people are coming in. Be ready for that. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. The little congregation of Israel will not remain in Palestine. It will venture out into other lands that had never known the truth. It will go to Asia Minor, modern Turkey. It will go to Rome and beyond Spain, even to the Americas, even to New Zealand. So a little one shall become a thousand, great numbers, and a small one a strong nation. All the nations of the earth will come, as we have here, the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We'll come to that perhaps more in a moment. But think of that, the certain growth of the kingdom of heaven. There are many scriptures that speak of that. We sing in Psalm 72, we'll sing, I trust, the final part of that psalm. Just a small beginning, a handful of corn on the top of the mountain will flourish like the trees of Lebanon. So the little kingdom becomes a great kingdom, or I should rather say the kingdom in small beginnings, little at first, encompasses the entire globe. And the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. It's large enough to hold the birds of the sky, the birds of heaven, literally. So the kingdom of heaven will take in the entire world, all peoples, tribes, nations, and institutions, education, government, and business, and so on, will come and lodge in the branches of the kingdom of heaven. It is not that every single person will be converted at that time, not even in the millennium, because we believe that the Lord Jesus' second coming will be after the millennium, the golden age of the church, the prosperous state of the church. And that is a prosperous state of the church is what we believe we find here, that the kingdom of heaven is like this mustard seed that becomes a tree, and the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. There will be the kingdom will prevail over the world, and the governments and nations and kingdoms will be brought into the church. And we read in the book of Revelation that the kingdoms of our Lord are become the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And as we read in Isaiah chapter 30, chapter 60, about the kings of the earth being useful to the church, the birds of the air, again, that's the picture, but it's a picture of institutions and kingdoms flocking into the church, the visible church. We read about the Gentiles will be instrumental in the promotion of the and support of the church. And in another place, kings and queens shall be nursing fathers and mothers to the church. That is the establishment principle. And the regulation of national resources, governments will have a view to supporting as well as protecting the church. And the kingdom that will not serve the church shall utterly perish from the earth. So certainly the kingdoms of the earth will come and lodge in the branches of the kingdom of heaven. The certain growth of the kingdom, it is from small to great, just like the stone that was cut out of the top of the mountain in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It was just a stone, but then we read that the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and fill the whole earth. So this is speaking of God's kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual reign of Christ in the world. And then again, Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, "And in the days of these kings, the earthly kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So every government that opposes Christ's kingdom will be wiped out one way or other. Certainly false religion will be eradicated, and institutions that are anti-Christian will be consumed by the brightness of his coming. And how will he come? By his word and spirit, in the preaching of the gospel and the accompanying power of the Holy Spirit. So we look forward to great spiritual prosperity and vast numbers coming into the pale of the visible church. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Peoples and nations and tribes of the earth will be drawn into the kingdom. Why? Because of its beneficial character. And that leads us to the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. Why do the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of a tree? Because they find it refreshing, they find it protecting, and so on. So for a moment, consider the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. One author tells us that the mustard seed is of a hot, fiery vigor. Apparently, the taste is attractive to the birds. So the birds of the sky come and shelter in the branches of the tree. They find food in the branches of this mustard plant. And so surely that is at least reminding us, whether it's the main intention, it's not the main intention of the parable, but it certainly does point us to the fact that the reason why governments and institutions and kingdoms come into the church is because of the blessedness of the church, the blessedness of the kingdom of heaven. Think of the security and protection in the very education that they receive by means of the kingdom of heaven. They're no longer left to the uncertainty of secular education, an atheistic philosophy. They have the truth. They have what creation is clearly pointing to, and that is a creator. We're not looking to other external forces apart from what is almighty. How absurd that people will deny a creator, or at least an all-knowing, omnipotent God, and even say that, well, if humans and life on earth was created, that it must be aliens from outer space that did it. Anything to deny a creator God. But away with this secular atheistic philosophy. The rule of Christ and the triumph of truth will be clearly seen when the kingdom has become from small to great, encompassing the entire world. But also the rest and the peace that the kingdom will bring. The gospel is a gospel of peace. Yes, the Lord Jesus has taught us that when the truth comes, there will be division because some will not receive the truth. We may certainly expect that. We will meet with opposition, but generally speaking, that is because of the opposition of human depravity. But the gospel itself is a gospel of peace and brings peace when it's embraced, and when the gospel is received by the whole world, then there will be reigning peace in the world, because that is what God does. He turns wars into peace. So there will be peace and stability and, most of all, spiritual prosperity in the full coming of the kingdom of heaven. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Well, what lessons can we learn in closing? First of all, do not be discouraged. If the kingdom of heaven begins in small ways, with small beginnings, then who hath despised the day of small things? Who is going to do that? Who's going to say, oh, there's only 3 people or 30 people or whatever gathering there. Who cares about this situation? Who will dare to do that? If it's a manifestation of God's kingdom, it will prevail. God's kingdom will prevail. And who hath despised? Who will dare to do so? Never, never despise the day of small things. Never despise, never think lightly of small beginnings. The numbers are small. We do feel weak. We are tempted to be discouraged. But the lesson is here. The lesson here is that the kingdom of heaven is like that. A grain of mustard seed, least of all seeds, but when grown, greatest among herbs. The kingdom is very small, overlooked, despised by the world, but it's going to take over. It's going to have conquest of the whole world. No matter how small now, the church will grow. Look to the examples of Scripture. There was Noah, one small family, and yet his children populated the world. Yes, the church corrupted after that, but it's an illustration that a little one shall become 1,000. There was Abraham. He didn't have children, but the Lord gave him a son. And in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so the Israelite population increased and filled the land of Canaan. So the church will increase in number. And in spirituality, we feel very weak, and grace may be very low, but the Lord will quicken his people, and that on a large scale and on a small scale, and individually too. The path of the just is as the shining light which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And the Lord, again, back to the numerical aspect, the Lord Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. So do not be discouraged. The Lord Jesus is with you. What more could you ask for? The presence of the head of the church is with his people, no matter how few they are. And he has promised that his cause in the world will increase. And so we should look forward to the coming of his kingdom. We should be praying for it, desiring it, yearning for it. Paul speaks about those who love his appearing. He doesn't appear only at the end of the world. He appears to his people by causing their grace to grow and the numbers to increase. So we're to pray with desire and conviction, "Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of heaven, with a small beginning. Lord, fulfill thy promise. It will grow, it will become a tree, and the birds of the air will lodge in it." Here's an argument in prayer, a promise to plead. Plead this parable in prayer. Have you ever done that before? Go to God in prayer, say, "Lord, here's a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke, and he said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, but it will grow and be like a tree. We pray thee, Lord, to fulfill that truth and promise, even in our day, if it be thy will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So don't be discouraged, but rather look forward to the coming of his kingdom. And why should we be discouraged when we consider that the kingdom of heaven has an inward secret growth? And that is what we hope to consider next time, the parable of the leaven. And never forget that the growth, the expansion, is by the secret working of the Spirit of God. It's his power. Just as the seed, the secret growth of the seed, that parable in chapter 4 of Mark, it is independent of the power of man. And it is not by observation, the secret operation of the Holy Spirit, but the evidence will appear. And as the parable declares, that the whole, all of it, was leavened. So, before we close, remember the feeding of the 5,000. It was just 5 loaves of bread, but the Lord used it to accomplish a great thing in feeding 5,000 people. So we're to be useful. It may be very small in our own eyes, but remember, the Lord can bless small endeavors to seek the profit of many. Family worship, teaching the children, a word to a colleague. It may be a frown when it comes to someone telling something that's wrong and evil. But however small, the Lord can cause it to increase and bless it for the good of others. Finally, whatever your condition, remember, do not neglect any means of grace. It may be very small means. It may be reading one little chapter, one small verse, coming to an insignificant prayer meeting. But don't neglect the means of grace, because the Lord can increase it. He can bless it to do great things for you. For those who are in a state of uncertainty, am I converted or am I not converted? Do not neglect the means of prayer. Pray and seek the Lord. "Seek ye me and live," we read in Amos chapter 5. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Don't neglect prayer. And don't neglect to look to Christ, to endeavor to seek him and look to him. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And think of that, faith as a grain of mustard seed. Tiny, tiny faith, but receiving and resting upon a great Savior. None perish that him trust. May he bless his word.